Hey guys, this is Mike Mahaffey, the old bastard BJJ guy, here for BJJ Metal Models. Back in my day, we had to walk uphill in the snow both ways to get to the academy just to learn some crappy technique from a random purple belt. You kids have it so easy, because now you can just subscribe to BJJ Metal Models Premium and get tons of great audio courses to learn new techniques, enhance your mindset, and entertain yourself. You can even get personalized rolling reviews from some of your favorite BJJ Metal Models coaches, including me. It's like having your own seminar, you spoiled little whippersnappers. So what are you waiting for? Subscribe to BJJ Metal Models Premium right now, get off my lawn, and go train.
Hey, welcome to BJJ Mental Models episode 170. I'm Steve Kwan. BJJ Mental Models is your guide to a conceptual and intelligent jiu-jitsu approach. And today, from the other end of the world, I am pleased to be joined by someone I actually haven't seen in person in a very long time, Mr. Braulio Estima. Braulio, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, Steve. All good. The other side of the pond. But, going through strong through the winter out here. Out there, it's pretty cold as well, right, in Vancouver?
Yeah, Vancouver normally doesn't get that cold, but this year, for whatever reason, it just turned into an ice storm. I think on one day, it got as low as like negative 17 degrees where I live, which is crazy. And this is Celsius, which is crazy. I have never seen it get that cold in Vancouver before in my life. Normally, sometimes it doesn't even go below zero in the winter. But this year, it iced up really good. But so on one hand, that was fun because my daughter is getting older. And so we were able to have a white Christmas and she really liked that. But on the other hand, it's a city that we live in where we are not equipped to deal with temperatures that cold and that much snow. So anyway, that appears to be behind us now when we're moving into a more traditional Vancouver weather here.
Yeah, man, now it's only going to get better. I love this kind of the time of the year because it's passing, like the days getting longer by the day. So it's kind of, it's on the up, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, with that said, I've been wanting to have you on here for a long time. I'm pretty sure we don't need to do an introduction because I'm going to guess that if anyone on the podcast doesn't know who Braulio Estima is, probably they don't really train jiu-jitsu. And if that's the case, I don't know why they're here. But in any event, you've been a longtime inspiration to myself, particularly because I feel like you give people like me hope. You know, I did not start off as like a crazy, immediately awesome athlete when I started jiu-jitsu from white belt. And I remember when you bursted onto the scene, actually, I believe mostly at the black belt level, you came in and you just change the game with a lot of the inverted triangle stuff you do. And I generally just love your philosophy and the way you talk about jiu-jitsu and the way you share jiu-jitsu. So I'm really happy to have you on here and to have a big talk about that actually as a concept, I think would be fun to discuss.
Thanks so much for the words, Steve. That means a lot to me, hear that from such an influential person. And yes, man, I'm very, very grateful, very, I really appreciate being in the position that I am now. And, usually I don't look back on what I did, for me, it's always what's next, but when I stop to talk and, comes down that film and it just shows that to myself that anything is possible if you really put your mind into it and if you do what it takes to keep going forward.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember when I started training in jiu-jitsu, like most people who start jiu-jitsu, my goals were to learn to defend myself, to have a fun fitness activity I'd really like. And so the reason I got into this thing was because I thought, well, I want to learn to defend myself. But in reality, flash forward 13 years I've been training now, I've never once had to have an actual confrontation where I've needed to defend myself. And as I get older, it becomes increasingly less likely that that's ever going to happen. But the thing about jiu-jitsu that now is more important to me than ever before was the community and the social aspect and jiu-jitsu as a tool for growth. I think a lot of people get into jiu-jitsu because, like me, they wanted to learn self-defense. But by the time you get up to black belt, usually your focus has changed. And now you use jiu-jitsu as an engine for self-development. And you kind of become an ambassador of the sport. And your goal is to help other people improve their lives through that lens of jiu-jitsu as a practice that you can use. So I'd love to dig into where your mindset is at right now in terms of where you see yourself in the jiu-jitsu landscape and what you're really passionate about when it comes to helping people and representing the sport.
That's so good to hear, you know, like that vision that you have of jiu-jitsu, which is, shows how beautiful the art that we are part of, right? Myself, when I started training jiu-jitsu, my main attraction was to be a champion. I wanted to be good in something. That I've always wanted to be an athlete. I wanted to fall in love with a sport that I would represent with all my power and willpower to go into the end to one day maybe represent my country. That was my first thing on finding something as in sports. I tried football. It didn't work, clearly. And I tried, when I say football, soccer, right? First. And when I had an opportunity to practice jiu-jitsu and I felt an opportunity that a new wave coming and one of the new things, new sport that's completely unique, that's a sport that brings the humbleness of being able to control someone without having to hurt them. You know, I've always loved that aspect of it. I've always been very inspired by martial arts, but my main goal, I wanted to be good at it, right?
Yeah.
And represent one day my country. And this was my carrot on my journey, right? But on the process of learning, improving, and try to go through all the adversities and learning all as much as possible, different ways of doing the same kind of concept, start cross-reference. It's jiu-jitsu is a problem-solving art, right? So it gets you to try to understand that it's all about you accepting yourself and don't compare yourself to nobody, and everyone will come up on your own time. So instead of racing to be better than anybody else, I just went start focused on trying to my self-development and through jiu-jitsu, right? And that taught me via concept. I take a lot of things, all my lessons that I try to incorporate on my journey in life, it's trying to understand concepts. And then by studying, by observing, I improve my understanding of my own jiu-jitsu by understanding concepts instead of just trying to copy in a certain technique. A technique is a vehicle to make a certain concept work, but when you focus, you understand the concept, you can make however you can apply and adjust accordingly how much you can apply that according to your limitations and your attributes, right? So with that mindset, understanding, developing my branches in jiu-jitsu through concepts by understanding, I also apply this for life. And then I have noticed that any kind of successful journey that is out there, the concept of mindset and dealing with problems and solving problems on their own specific journey is very similar. The concept is the same. If you get the mind of Michael Jordan's mindset, if you get the Elon Musk mindset, if you get the Albert Einstein mindset, they are pretty much same similarity in the concept, but different. But conceptual is very similar. So therefore, I try to kind of copy the same way that I try to copy and paste concept in my jiu-jitsu techniques to learn new techniques. I start doing that, copy and paste these kind of concepts to apply myself into the art and then into the life. And I feel that there's so much to improve because it's not only known, but put into actions, right? And that's it, you know, like jiu-jitsu, my character was to be a champion, but towards that journey, I learned a lot, so much about myself, about what really matters in life. You know, and this I'm trying to use my journey to prove a point that is possible. It's all about how much you really want it and how much you put in practice things that you learn instead of trying to copy anybody.
Well, I love with your story, one of the things about your story that's particularly fascinating, and I believe you and I actually discussed this the last time you were in Vancouver. I remember you brought this up. One of the things that I think people find particularly inspiring about your story is you really burst onto the world scene, I believe at Black Belt, correct? And I'd love to understand that and what that process looked like to you and what changed that allowed you to kind of leapfrog up to the point where you started racking up those big wins when you got the black belt.
Yeah, I mean, when I started training jiu-jitsu, there was a lot of limitations in my area where I used to train. So there was no black belts in my area. The closest black belt was away like 2 hours, 2.5 hours away by plane, which was Rio, right? So access to information back in the day. There was no YouTube, internet, or anything else. You know, it's all about like whoever goes to Rio, get a little bit of a source of technique, come back home and apply it, and spend 6 months studying and training and developing whatever we could get that amount, you know, the technique that we developed from Rio. Now, when I had that mindset, so I had in Brazil, it's not easy to live, right? I had always my, I always been trying to be cautious. I came from academic family, so the pressure to have a degree in university was always there. Nobody has been an athlete in my family, neither side, and even like far sides. So it was a lot of pressure on me, but at the same time, I really kind of, start to understand that what's the point of being, spending your time doing something that you don't really feel like doing it. And it becomes like if a prison, I wouldn't be happy. I would rather mediocre money doing what I love. At least I will be happy doing what I want to hang it out. I'm going to be doing things as long as it's sufficient to fulfill my life, right? But I was doing production engineering because just for the sake of the degree, right? And then up until the brown belt, I remember that I used to have a half a scholarship at a university in Recife, and the other half of the scholarship I had to pay with my work that I used to work a part-time between 8 and 12 o'clock in the morning. So I used to wake up at 7 o'clock, go to school in the morning to work so I could pay half of my scholarship, and then come back home and by 1 o'clock have dinner, do my studies, and do my training from 4 o'clock until 5:30. And I already go straight away from the training session, which wasn't the hardest training session at the time because of I was limited between work and university. So as soon as I finished 4 to 5:30, straight away to university to get at 6 o'clock start my class until 10 p.m. And then this is my class of university. Then after that, I used to teach from 11 to 12:30 in the night. That's where the only money source I was be able to make. So it was very intense. That affected a lot of my training, right? Because I was like too busy with university, too busy working to be able to pay half of the university. So the amount of time that I had to train was very minor. So when I decided to come to UK as a brown belt, even though I had already, I've won Pan American Championships, blue, purple, and got third in brown. No, in brown, I won it. I won in every belt. I won the Pan Ams, but not black belts. But not the world championship, sorry. Pan Ams, I won in every belt, but not at the world championships. But when in brown belt, it was when it was the outbreak for me. Was when when I came to UK for 2 months on a holiday of my university with the hope that to try to experience something, if this will work or not. And I came here, Roger was here at the same time. So we trained together every week for 2 months. For the first time, I actually only dedicated my whole time for jiu-jitsu. That was in 2002, beginning 2003. I just got my brown belt. And I remember that time, for the first time I worked out, like I did weights for the first time. I was 23 years old. 22 years old. Then I went to the Pan Ams and I won weight and absolute, winning all fights by submissions. All the fight together was 5 minutes and 24 seconds. You know, like that was crazy. 7 fights in 5 minutes and 24 seconds. So it was the confirmation that I was on the right way. That if I focus 100% on the jiu-jitsu, I could go. And that's what was when I unleashed everything. That's why I know I'm going to carry on doing that. This is what I found happiness. So I will explore the jiu-jitsu here in the UK. Back in the day, jiu-jitsu was very rare. It's completely opposite to what it is today. Today, jiu-jitsu is everywhere. Just in my city, there are 15 academies already. You know, it's huge jiu-jitsu over here. So it's good for everyone. But at the same time, that was the click. It was when I, for the first time, I had time to develop myself and add in this training to complement my jiu-jitsu. That's when I felt the big jump. And then when I went to fight I got my black belt in 2004, January 2004, and I won the World Championships as a black belt in 2004. And that was like, I'm very fortunate that since then, every competition that I compete, I always went to the finals. So I'm very proud of that, from the black belts. But I believe it was from that brown belt tournament that was big click for me.
I love this story because what you're explaining here is that there's more to being a world champion than just being blessed with natural gifts and just either you got it or you don't. And I think that's a problem, and it's probably a mindset issue that a lot of people have where they look at the people who are really successful and they just think, I could never be like that, because you're either born with it or you're not.
Yeah.
And I hear that a lot. But I think the thing I love about your story is that it illustrates that there was a specific point where you made a specific decision to go all in on your focus, on your dream here. And that led to a very dramatic, measurable result. And it's a great example of how it's not just about being born with it or not being born with it. It's about being deliberate with your intention and being very clear with yourself about your goals and focusing on those goals and how much of an immediate difference that can make. I mean, if you want to look at someone as like a kind of almost like an experiment, if you looked at your story, it's a great example of how when you make that honest decision with yourself, it can change everything for your life.
Yeah, you got to have the full willpower. That's the main thing that you got to have to whatever. It doesn't matter what you do. That's why people, we hear all the time, you know, choose to do what you love. But why is that? Because if you do what you love, even on the tough times, you will do it anyway because you love, right? If you follow your passion, it doesn't matter what is your passion, you know? Like, for example, if you have a passion of do drawing, you know, if that's your passion, the more time you keep doing it, the better you become. And you keep search improvement, you will find improvement. And if you keep doing it because you have the passion for it, you're gonna do on the sunny day, on the rainy days, because you love to do it, right? So you have a better chance to do it. But imagine if I don't have the passion for drawing, and then I have to draw something that I don't have the passion about, that is, you're gonna be just wasting time, you know. So with me, I fell in love with jiu-jitsu. You know, I fell in love with exercise. I fell in love with the philosophy of the art. I fell in love with the vision that we have to try to become a better version of ourselves through jiu-jitsu. And like that, I just, you know, used this to motivate me. On the good or the bad, I would be training. There were some times that it felt hard, man. That decision took me a long time to take, you know, and I was very cautious. That's why I studied 3.5 years doing jiu-jitsu at production engineer for 3.5 years. You know, it wasn't something simple. It's not easy, you know. And then there was like uncertainty. I wasn't clear that I was going to do well. I never thought then that I could actually become a world champion as a black belt. I didn't know I was going to be an ADCC champion. You know, imagine the absolute champion. You know, imagine the Hall of Fame. Yeah. I would never dream that. But that's one of the main lessons that I took, Steve, was when I remember that I used to, when on the first time that I thought I was going to get my blue belt, it was in a tournament. Like, there was a seminar, as usual. There's a seminar. You go there, and there is a grading in, right? I remember because it was difficult to find belts in our locations. I told you jiu-jitsu wasn't well developed, but I was feeling already that I was getting pretty good, you know, that white belt, I think they're very good. I already bought my blue belt already on expectations to go and get graded on that seminar. I don't even remember what was the seminar about. That was so, because I was so focused on getting that blue belt. And the seminar, nobody gets the belt. I didn't get no belt. I even passed in front of my coach a couple of times just to make sure that he knows that I was there. He said, hey, brother, how are you doing? Oh, damn, he knows I'm here. No belt. So I go home. I cry. For the first time, I stopped training jiu-jitsu for 3 days. But then I missed it. And I look at myself in the mirror. And, you know, I remember telling myself, look, you want to go train. You didn't want to train anymore because you thought you were going, you deserve a blue belt. But now you didn't get a blue belt. Now you need to tell, I made a pact with myself. Listen, if you are going back to that training from now on, you don't want to go there to expect no belt at whatsoever. So that was my first lesson of high expectations. So since then, I made an agreement with myself that every time I step on the mat to train, I will just try to train and try to be as good as I could ever be and not be better than anybody. Not because I'm beating someone in the academy, I should deserve to be in a certain stage, I changed my mindset, you know. And then when I changed that, I felt that my improvement was more solid because I was focusing on my self-development instead of comparing myself to anybody else. Instead of trying to be better than anybody else, I tried to just do my little steps by steps to improve my on my own development. And because I feel like when I was thinking about being better than someone else, I was focused too much on a specific way of beating someone.
Yeah,
because there are other people fight differently, and therefore it became a little too personal. And it, myself, if I can't focus on develop my every area as possible by accepting myself by the way that I am, instead of trying to be as someone, I just try to become the better version of Braulio as possible. If I could get to my full potential, if that full potential means I could be a world champion or not, it is my full potential anyway. So that's when I start maturing towards that idea.
Yeah, I love what you're bringing up here about focusing on yourself. And this, to me, I mean, we preach about this a lot on the podcast, but I understand that it's very hard for people to build that habit. And I certainly, despite the fact that I always talk about this and I always tell people, you know, don't try to compete with your friends. Don't try to compete with your training partners. Focus on yourself. For me, it's still hard, right? It's very, very hard to not look at what other people are doing and be envious of their successes and to wonder why you can't do it. But the reality is, you can never win a race if you're busy looking at the other guys and girls and seeing what they're doing, right? Like if you're a sprinter, you are not going to be able to win if you are looking to each side to see how are all of my competitors doing, right? You have to be focused on yourself and to also be a little bit compassionate with yourself about, you know, what your strengths and your weaknesses are and not beat yourself up too much about it. And I see people do this all the time where they beat themselves up because they're not as good at something as they would like to be, or maybe they lost a big match or they feel that other people are better than them. And that's all understandable, but it's not productive. You're simply not going to make yourself better. And you're definitely not going to make yourself happier if you're obsessing over how much more successful other people are versus you.
Yeah.
And that's a big mindset hack that I encourage everyone, regardless of whether they train jiu-jitsu or not, to really focus on. So like you said, don't be chasing the belts, don't be chasing the wins, but to just live mindfully and enjoy every single class that you're in and focus on your journey and trying to make yourself better rather than trying to rank yourself against all of the people that you compete with.
Yeah. I mean, like, of course, like, for example, jiu-jitsu is between two, when you fight between two people, right? You need... is individual sport, but you need your partner to measure your improvements, right? To see where you're at. But when I say that the focus cannot be on someone else, the focus on yourself, is that means if you are doing well or not, as long as you try to get better, that's what matters. Of course, the person that you train with, of course you want to try to beat him because that's the goal of the game. You try not to be beaten. That's the goal of the game. But the frustration for not getting as good as they, that has to change the mindset so you can unlock your full potential.
Right.
You know? And everyone is different. Everyone has different attributes and different, you know, flaws. You just need to accept yourself. That's the first thing that you got to do. Understand. The more you understand yourself, the more you accept yourself, the more you can work around it. And it's like, I like to give the metaphor of the popcorn metaphor. There are corns that come from the same cob. But when they're doing popcorn, you see they never pop at the same time. Everyone will pop on their time. As long as they try to find the oil, the quicker you find the oil, which oil is knowledge, the more you search, the more you have the chance to pop earlier. But it's on your own time. And it's like the Matrix, you know, like when I say the Matrix, like Neo. Now, Neo is the one, right? So it's everyone in the world is the one. They just need to look for it, you know? Instead of finding someone else and something else, you need to look towards you. And you can only be the one if you understand yourself. Because you can, in jiu-jitsu especially, you can never manipulate someone else if you don't know how to manipulate yourself in the first place.
Yeah, that's a good point. It makes a lot of sense. Now, something I would ask you about, you talked about how at some point in your life, you made a deliberate and conscious decision that you were going to go all in on jiu-jitsu. And for a lot of people, I think they struggle with that decision. I always tell everyone, look, everyone should try jiu-jitsu at least once. Not everyone is going to fall in love with it. Obviously, some people like us will, absolutely. But there are going to be people who try it and they say, hey, you know what, it's just not for me. That's fine. As long as you tried it, I forgive that. That's not a problem. But there's also a second transformation later on for a lot of people where they've been training for a while and they love jiu-jitsu. And they have to at some point make a decision about what is the role of jiu-jitsu going to be in my life? Is it a hobby? Is it something I do for fun to relieve stress as a secondary activity to the other things that I do? Something that just improves my quality of life? Or is this going to be my career? Is it going to be my focus and my dream? And I have heard a lot of people, my brother included, who have had the exact same nerve-wracking experience as you, where they had a plan for their life. They had a career they wanted to shoot for. They'd invested heavily in it from an education and a time and a money standpoint. And then they discovered jiu-jitsu and they had to decide if they wanted to abandon what they had built so far and switch tracks to focus on jiu-jitsu. And that's not an easy decision for people to make. But I'd love to know, as a mentor in this community, what do you say to people when they have that battle? If they say, like, look, Braulio, I love jiu-jitsu, but man, I've spent the last 15 years working as a lawyer. And, you know, I like being a lawyer, but I'm thinking jiu-jitsu. I kind of love it maybe a little bit more, but I'm scared. What do you tell people to help them make that decision about whether they should or shouldn't switch their focus to a career in jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, this is a difficult one, right? Because every decision and choices that we make, it can bring a lot of responsibilities, right? So my advice is to try to think what brings you happiness. You know, I'm gonna tell you a little bit of the reason, one of the ideas that I did on my career. For example, the same reason that I chose jiu-jitsu over production engineering was because, you know, I wasn't doing something that I love. But if I liked a little bit, it get me the challenge, even though, for example, if I'm a lawyer, if I've been working for so long, lawyer, maybe if I worked for so long, that means that I liked about it, right? But if I hate it, of course I would cancel. No way. If I was fed up, that was making my life stressed, you know, making me unhappy, I would cut it off and do it straight away. Or if I like a little bit, I do according to the amount of what I like. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. Because jiu-jitsu for me, it is fun. And it's an amazing character development. You meet so many different people. Jiu-jitsu is where you level yourself. When you're in the mat, is by who you are in jiu-jitsu. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor, what's your religion, what's your politics, if you're good looking or not, where is your race. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. We are in the community, we're learning jiu-jitsu, and it's fun to be around. And in that multicultural environment, you know, you learn so much about life by hearing and seeing my point of views from different kinds, and this is so enriching. And this is one thing that I had an amazing pleasure to experience. You know, look, Joe Rogan and you guys, how good it is to sit down with interesting people every week and get to see their point of view of what their journey brought them to where they are now. Look how much enriching you guys imagine. Look, if you do something with love, and you'll do it right, but you got to be cautious, right? Because life is not easy, and you cannot just be insensible. You know, like, okay, you know what? I'm making this amount of money being a lawyer, and then suddenly, just because I want to go for jiu-jitsu, I cancel it all. And go. I think that it's gonna be a crossover and a transition with a little try, like I did. I came here for 2 months, but I didn't cancel my university forever. But when I gave the 2 months full on, and I could feel the seed that I planted growing strong, it was signing. I felt a sign. I thought, man, look, that was 2 months and gave a lot of this opportunity and I did a very good result. And now I want to put another 6 months. And then the 6 months, you know what, oh, man, I'm not coming back. What's the point? This, I'm already in a much better place than I expected. That's how you got to go with the flow and feel. But I never go like, for me to go all out, I had to experiment, you know, to kind of feel that this is the, I am going on the right direction. And I was feeling through my experiences that there were signs showing me, okay, I have a chance. I have a chance of being a competitor. But don't forget, jiu-jitsu, I wanted to be a competitor. You know, when I started jiu-jitsu, the only way that you could be successful with jiu-jitsu was only by being a competitor. There's no other option. Nowadays, jiu-jitsu, you can use jiu-jitsu for, man, for so many kinds of ways and make a life about it. So you can open an academy. You don't need to be a world champion to open an academy. In fact, if when you have a world champion academy, that actually gets people scared of joining because they feel like, oh my God, I'm not really prepared to go and train with a world champion. You can actually push away. So it's all about, you know, take your time and have with your really believe that what you really want to do is what you love to do. And if you're scared of leaving something, you don't need to cut it off at once. Measure, go counterbalancing, you know, and go to let it go slowly and give it a try to see if this is exactly what you want. But sometimes we think we do until we start doing it and you go, oh, shit, I have to go back and I cannot go back anymore.
Yeah, I love that idea of kind of moving into something gradually. And I think that's an important concept for people to get their heads around. If you have a passion, you are not obligated to abandon every other aspect of your life and dive into your passion all at once. You can dip your toes in and then gradually move more and more in.
Yeah.
My brother was a professional chef. And he discovered jiu-jitsu because when I was younger, I joined a gym. I started training jiu-jitsu, fell in love with it, told my brother about it. He joined, also fell in love with it, got his black belt. And then he thought, you know, at some point he really wanted to do this professionally. He had kind of fallen out of love with his real job, being a chef, and he'd fallen more into love with jiu-jitsu. He struggled with this process of, okay, should I just sacrifice everything? And he took it step by step. He didn't do it all at once. The first thing he did was, rather than starting his own gym, which was something he wanted to do, rather than just paying a bunch of money to buy or lease a place and renovate, he found an existing gym that was doing karate and had extra space and extra schedule time. And he was able to work out a deal where he could use their space. And so he started his own business there with very low costs up front because he didn't have to pay a ton of rent and he didn't have to build a facility. So he was able to leverage what was already there. And he started off with just a very small class, you know, one class a week, maybe 3 people would show up, right? Not even necessarily trying to make money at that point. But then you do it long enough and you learn and momentum builds and word of mouth builds. And before you know it, you have a lot of people and now you need a CRM or something to track them. And now you need to buy your own space. And right now, you know, years later, he runs a very successful gym and he didn't jump into that all in one day. I mean, you could argue that abandoning your life to pursue a hobby all at once, that's not always the most responsible thing to do if you have people who are dependent on you, but you can still pursue that hobby if you're smart about it. We had Nelson Puentes, one of the co-founders of Inverted Gear, on the podcast, and he explained that that's how he started the brand that he created. You know, he didn't just quit everything and then decide he was going to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in manufacturing gis to sell to people. He started off with this as kind of a side hustle, and it just kind of grew over time until it became his full-time job. And so that's a very responsible way to pursue your passion, which is basically test it out. Just dip your toes in, see if you like it, see if you get traction, learn from it. And then from there, if you get traction and it's what you thought it would be, or maybe you love it even more, then sure, take another step into the water and just go deeper and deeper and deeper. That's a very good way to make a big life transition. Often it's more comforting to do that and less risky to do that versus just throwing everything out and redoing your life all in 24 hours, right? That's maybe not for a lot of people, that might not be the best decision.
Yeah, it just needs to feel the waters. And the thing is, you know, what the first thing you need to understand is like, okay, what's the minimum that I could live off, and be happy, you know, and make the most of the time. And then if you plan that and you start is working less on the job that you not like so much and start adding a little bit of the one that you like and kind of increasing slowly until you get enough amount that, okay, you know what, if I reach this amount, I can live okay with that. And then you can jump in to go to the next stage, because then you will get to the next stage. If you focus on the minimum, if you can reach the minimum, which is very doable, once you transit, then you will have more time to do what you love. Therefore, you're going to improve to do what you love. You're going to improve the business. You're going to become better on what you love. Therefore, you're going to become happier. And then you can invest more time. And then you can double it then, doing full what you want. That's usually what I would advise to people. Get the minimum that will be happy to be doing jiu-jitsu. And then as soon as you reach close by, focus on and make the commitment.
Yeah, I think that's important as an exercise for people to do whenever they're planning a big life change, which is to really ask themselves, what really is the worst that could happen? You know, what do I have to sacrifice here? What really could go wrong? Because a lot of the time people catastrophize a bit, and that's just human nature. They think things are going to wind up worse than maybe they actually would. You know, people are always terrified. Well, yeah, I'd love to do jiu-jitsu, and maybe I'd love to quit and do this professionally and start a gym, but I'm scared of losing my full-time job. But if you actually sit people down and just ask, okay, what is the worst that could happen if you quit your job and you went and you did jiu-jitsu? Think about it. Like, realistically, yeah, it might impact your finances in the short term. It might add some stress in the short term. But are you really actually screwing yourself as bad as you might be worried about? Probably not. There's a good chance that you could go back into the industry that you came from and get another job if you wanted to. I mean, yes, you might have to drop a few steps on the ladder and climb back up again, but probably it's not going to set you back as far as you worried it would. And I think that's an important consideration when people are planning their dreams here, in which direction they want to move in, is to understand, okay, what is the worst that could happen if I pursue this? Because I think a lot of the time people are probably more scared about the worst case scenario than they actually need to be.
Yeah. And that's exactly what makes people lose their competitions. Because why just, right? It's not only when you see the competitors, the best in the world, it's not only training hard and be good in jiu-jitsu that's going to be enough for you to go there and end up in the end. There's a lot of mindset, you know, and then it's according to the time, the day, the mindset that you are, how much was your train, how much visualization, how much you put your time into it, how much you put your mind prepared for that competition. Because one thing is not enough. You need to use a lot of the visualization mindset for everything that I do now, because that's what made me be successful in the competitions. And then as a teacher and as a leader of our team, is visualize. And I believe a lot, the more you can visualize and feel how it feels when you are achieving your goals, it's incredible. You know, I remember when I was fighting and preparing myself against Jacare, it was one of the biggest challenges that I ever had, because I had fought Jacare 4 times previously and not even scored 1 advantage on him. And I had this fight booked for 2 years to come. 1 year before the fight, I got an injury on my neck that made me tetraplegic. And I had to stop moving, 24 hours without moving. Then things are getting back to normal, but my neck was completely damaged and I had to do a surgery. And then 3 doctors cut me off of possibility to come back to compete in any sport, because of the 2 levels of discs back to back. It's quite dangerous if you fuse 2 discs. And the 4th doctor I went, Mr. Dr. Hamlin in London, he's put a rugby player back into the league in the same situation. I said, I like this guy. So when I did the surgery, Steve, 8 months before the fight against Jacare. So Basically, I had 4 months without training or doing anything, recovery from the surgery. So therefore, I had 4 months to get back myself, to be as good as I could ever be, you know? And I was worse than before I was in the surgery. So I had 4 months, and, you know, to be able to beat a guy, you know, even scored an advantage. and got there, you know, on the 30 minutes fight, and I beat him. So if this, if I could remember, I every single day I was thinking about that fight. I went to talk to the doctor to find the solution for my neck because of that fight. You know, when the accident happened to me, the first thing that came to my mind was my kids, that I couldn't, oh my God, and I won't be able to pick up my kids. Oh my God, it's over. Oh no, I fight against Jack, because that's what I really put on my mind to. Because I really wanted to prove to myself that I can be one of the best in our generations, because I put so much time into it. And when I went to the surgery, I feel myself before and after, because I was visualizing. And every time that I was waking up to go to do the physiotherapy, to do the stretches, and then when I start doing the weights for the first time, when I was going to my personal trainer, could only fit me in at 6:30 in the morning. And I am not the morning person, but every day I woke up that I didn't want to wake up, but I didn't give the opportunity for me to regret for not doing it. And I was thinking, living an experience. I remember every time that I trained, I put my hands up and I could visualize the sweat on my mouth and, you know, the blood of taste and then feeling the victory in the end. And it was so surreal that when I shake hands with him in the middle of the fight, I was kind of daydreaming. I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe this is happening right now. It's so incredible because I visualized all of that. I visualize the strategy. I visualize everything. And then that made a big difference. I believe a lot of that. You know, the universe kind of conspires about it. And then with that concept, it worked. As I said, again, that's how I learn things, right? This made me prove that it's possible for that guy to be able to come from a surgery and be able to be the biggest rival on those circumstances. The visualization and the feeling of it and all that was a big impact. So I use this concept for everything else I do nowadays, and then it proves right. When I do focus on my new academy coming, I think about, oh, I'm gonna have this vibe, we're gonna have, you know, the class is gonna be booming, it's gonna have a lot of happiness in the academy, we're gonna have be able to help so many kids, so many adults, to helping people to get a, have a track in their life, you know, help people to become a better version of themselves. And I visualize it, and I believe it, and I can feel the positive impact that goes to the community around. And that's why, you know, I believe that if you have that, is the difference between being the champion and not the champion in jiu-jitsu and in life or in anything you do.
Do you have any pointers or suggestions for how to visualize? Because I find the science of visualization to be really fascinating. And I think, you know, everyone, I think, knows that it's a good practice to have. But I'd love to know, do you have any techniques or a process or a way that you visualize that you find really helpful?
Well, I always try to focus on the positive, on everything, you know. And if I want to visualize, for example, you got to be as well coherent and reasonable, right, on a visualization. If I never done a bloody Formula One race, I cannot just visualize that I'm going to win the race if I never even race a bloody race car, right? It's not like that. You see, you understand yourself. For example, my point in jiu-jitsu, okay? I know what is the position that I know best, the position that I've been more fluid, the position that's been working more, high percentage training. You know, I can see what is my strength. I can see what is my flaws. So I don't think about my flaws in the visualization. All I think about, okay, how am I going to beat this guy? Okay, cool. I can see I'll fight Jack Ray. Okay, so if we're standing, I work around, okay, I think the single leg will be a good opportunity. If the single leg doesn't work, this was going to be working. So I try to kind of fight with the guy, but winning with my techniques that I do on the daily basis. And when I put him on the ground, that's what I'm going to do. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to have this option. Try to go through the battles like you're fighting with him, but he's reacting. And you are dealing with this with the techniques that you know how to do it. But I always think on you on the advantage point, to how me taking him down, me sweeping him, me taking him, passing his guard, me getting a submission, and me winning in the end, but never thinking about, oh, what if I lose? I cannot lose. Or to don't bring this negative to the... I think the more you do, the more you exercise, the more it feels natural. You know, it's kind of a meditation, but putting the area that you want to work on using the attributes that you already have towards that to be able to achieve. For example, if I want to visualize a successful academy, of course, you're going to visualize a place. You're going to visualize the mats. You're going to visualize, you know, who is going to be in the reception. We're going to visualize that the people coming in, the family coming in, happy to bring the kids to the academy with the expectations to make a difference on the kids. And you're going to see you or whatever instructors who is teaching that kid, happy to receive that kid and make that kid become one hub to motivate the other kids. You know what I mean? Like this kind of a mindset of abundance. You just keep like dreaming, meditation. I don't know, it's weird, but for me, it makes sense.
Yeah. No, makes perfect sense to me too. And something also that you brought up, which I think is worth discussing. You talked about on your road to rehab from your injury, how you had to get up in the morning and you hated the process because you're not a morning person. But you mentioned something which I think is really, really insightful. And that is that you just did it. You didn't give yourself the time to talk yourself out of it or give yourself a reason to not do it. You just went ahead and did it before you could even engage with all of the logic as to why maybe you shouldn't go and give yourself excuses. I've heard that practice referred to as a Ulysses contract, where basically you kind of make a commitment and you hold to a commitment so that in the future, you won't be inclined to try to back out of it. It could be a very helpful way to keep yourself on track if you know that you're going to be encouraged to deviate. So a common example that people give is, look, if you don't want to eat junk food, if you want to be healthier, the best thing to do is to fix that problem at the grocery store. If you buy a bunch of potato chips and you fill your house with potato chips, you're going to have a really hard time not eating those potato chips. The better thing to do is just to never let them get into your house in the first place. And so you fight that battle in the grocery store, not in a situation where your willpower is going to be weaker. And the same thing happens for things like you talked about, where if there's an activity or a process that you know is going to be good for you and you just don't enjoy it, but you know that you need to do it to get to the things you do enjoy, then you can create those situations where you force yourself to engage and do it, and you bypass or you block out all of the excuses that could come up. In fitness, a common way that people do this is they'll have an accountability buddy, because it's a lot harder to abandon your workout routine if your buddy's going to be there too and he's going to be holding you accountable. So it sounds very similar to what you're talking about, and how you don't give yourself the time to make excuses. You just do it before all of those excuses kick in.
Yeah, when you mentioned, I was going to say the accountability is very important. You've got to have the accountability. You need to be honest with yourself, you know. And I believe that we all are where we at. Not talking about with accidents or, you know, illness. I'm not taking out of that, right? I'm talking about in our profession, in our relationships. We are here according to the decision that we make, our choices, right? And then also, not only the choice, but the intentions of those choices too. And I've always been very worried of regret for something that I didn't do. I'd rather regret something that I did than regret something that I didn't do. And then because I was here isolated, I knew that my neck wasn't 100%, and I knew how hard I had to train. And I didn't want to give it the opportunity according to my body level, that I couldn't train any less anymore. I want to train as much as I could to don't feel that I didn't do something enough. You know, like that pressure and that responsibility that I took, because I took it serious, that I really wanted something, you know. And you're only going to commit for this if you really, really, really want something that much, like you want to be alive. That's how much I really wanted that thing.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't want to give no excuses for not achieve what I really want to do. Whatever was going to be there for me to take, I would go through it, because the meaning of how much I really wanted to win that fight was bigger than anything that would stop me from training.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I think a common misconception that people have about following your passion, and we've talked so far about finding your passion and following that and working towards your dreams. I think a common misconception people have about the things they love is that it'll always be good times. And that's just not the case. If you have a long-term relationship with anything you love, whether it be an activity or a person, if you're in that relationship for long enough, there's going to be bad times as well as good times.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't think people are ready for that often. I mean, you know that when people start jiu-jitsu at white belt, they just have ridiculous amounts of enthusiasm for the sport. But once you've been doing it for 5-10 years, something's going to happen at some point in your life where you're going to lose that love. It's going to not be as intense as it was in the beginning. And something that I've heard you have done before for people is help them rekindle that passion. In fact, we had a person in our community who talked about this, and I won't name names because I don't want to violate anyone's privacy, but I'd heard of specific stories where someone had kind of fallen out of love with aspects of the sport, and they talked to Braulio about it, and that helped them kind of rekindle the fire. And I'd love to get into that with you, because as kind of a senior leader in this space, I'm sure this happens a lot with you. What do you do or say to people who are at that point in their career where maybe they're having a bit of a crisis of confidence? They've been doing it for a long time, or the excitement of jiu-jitsu has kind of waned for them. How do you help them rekindle that passion?
Well, the contrast is important for any, you know, development. Because, as you said, it's not always going to be sunny days, you know. The sunny days, really appreciated, because you know when it is the rainy days, you know. You need to kind of understand that those times when we are frustrated, it's because you care about. If you're not frustrated, that means you don't care, you know. When you go home, think, oh man, my work is not working, my game is not working, I'm trying to do the sweep, I used to sweep that guy, but now I cannot sweep him, what's going on, is it me, why the guy can now, whatever. Dude, don't you think those times when you were sweeping that guy, don't you think he would go home thinking about, oh man, the guy swept me, how can I stop him sweep me? And it's a process of self-growth. Everyone is trying to develop and improve and be better. So, sometimes you're going to feel on the plateau, but if you go on the intention to do the same thing over and over again, you cannot expect nothing different, like the Einstein says, right? You cannot expect nothing different if you're doing the same thing over and over again. And every change requires you're going to be uncomfortable. And then if you go through a time that is tough, is this transition could be, if I keep doing the same game as I do, and someone clocks that game and don't let me do anymore, therefore I either change or carry on doing the same thing and be frustrated for the rest of my career and stop.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to move and adapt. The same thing, you know, like if you try to improve in different areas that you've never done before, you also going to feel a little bit frustrated because you're no longer doing your main game. But on the process of you develop a new thing, you're going to go through a tough patch. But that will make you understand that as long as you keep searching. If you stop searching, the fire gets lower and lower and lower. And that's why am I so passionate when I trained jiu-jitsu for 25 years? Why am I still passionate as ever? Why? Because I'm always there searching. I always try sharing. You know, and one thing that it makes a huge difference on my learning, even as a competitor, it was sharing with my training partners, sharing with people that I used to train with. By sharing, I automatically drill and overdrill that technique on my own brain. And when people ask me questions, I always try to figure out the reason why I do it, and I show them the why. The more I tell them the why, the more I understand even things that I didn't even notice that I was doing. Then I understand myself even better. And then when I understand the concept, then I can copy and paste in areas that are similar, but with the concept that was clicked by someone asking me a question that I knew the why. And then, man, it's beautiful, like when you have the mindset of sharing. Because you're only going to be frustrated, Steve, If you only going to be losing the fire, if you go to the academy, try to do your technique, and you're not being successful, you feel bad about yourself, and then you go home, oh, I'm just tired, all broken. But if you don't, what was your add up on that day for you? Did you try to do something new? Did you try to help anybody? Did you try to ask about anything? You know, you need to, we say in Portuguese in Brazil, like, if you search, you will find, you know? And for me, sharing is one of the most important aspects of my learning, you know? And then I believe in this movement of the appreciating each other and giving back to each other, you know? Like, for example, by you sharing to someone doesn't mean that you're not going to grow. You're going to grow too, but you're going to grow even stronger. And people will also have feedbacks of what you're teaching. I mean, you're going to learn more. Teaching around with the passion, teaching with everything that I had in mind without holding back made me a better fighter, made me a better jiu-jitsu practitioner, and a better person. You know, like, for example, I like the metaphor that I noticed the other day because I like to compare, right? I told you, concepts in successful thing. And I look at in our environment, like how the nature is so perfect, how the plants are so successful. Right? The plants are here before us, and there are plants that live 3,000 years. That are the herb trees today that live for 3,000 years. So it is a successful biological being. Put it this way. The plant is to give us oxygen, right? They give us medicine. They give us food. They give us shelter. They give us the fruits and all that. And also, as they grow, the herb trees, they can connect to up to 46 other trees underneath of the soil that those trees cannot reach the sun to make the photosynthesis, to feed themselves. So those trees, the tallest trees of the forest, the herb trees, they connect to up to 46 small trees under the soil. And that means there's no bragging about. They're not bragging. That's why it took so long for us to find out. They don't put the roots over the soil and show at least, I'm helping this tree, I'm helping this tree, I'm helping this tree. No, it's just under, because it's nothing, it's the appreciation of and giving back to each other. So when I click that kind of concept, I try to apply in jiu-jitsu, I try to apply in my life, I try to apply in my relationship in any kind. And I feel that it becomes a happy environment. And I try to be that herb tree as well, anywhere I go. I'm trying to be the herb tree right here. I'm trying to be the herb tree when I'm teaching. I'm trying to hit the herb tree when I'm learning and try to make a difference of people around and help them to learn how to do the same to others. And like that, you will be compensated with those frustrations and those times that you feel that you don't want to be part of it, you want to stop because you're not evolving. Because you will be in such a much better vibe that's going to be on yourself. You know. So that's how I see it.
Man, amazing, amazing information. And thank you so much for sharing your experience here. I think it's really going to resonate with a lot of people, regardless of the stage of their journey. Braulio, before we wrap this up, where can people find you if they want to follow your work, see what you're up to, if they want to check out any products you might have? How do people get in touch with you or follow you?
Well, I'm very active. I mean, when I say very active, that's the most active that I am on social media, is on the Instagram. You know, I put a bunch of, concepts and, you know, my ideas and my mindset over there within jiu-jitsu and the leadership, you know, at the GB Online, right? The Gracie Barra Online, where I am the head professor of the Gracie Barra Online Global. There's a lot of big content. Don't forget the BJJ Fanatics. There's some beautiful work, 8 DVDs with all this mindset, all this concept behind. Because I like to teach everything via concept. As I already spoke today, everyone is different, you know. So you cannot be always focused on doing exactly how someone does. But if you understand the reason why he does something, and then you can understand it your own way, then you get to the concept. And so you can start fighting and making your own jiu-jitsu. And that's how I like to teach. I give the reason why is I give the concept, and you can develop however you can perceive. And I think it's pretty unique. I've been getting a lot of good feedbacks about that. And it makes me really happy and motivated to carry on doing it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And of course, to anyone out there, I highly recommend you check out Braulio's work. So if you're not already following him, definitely recommend you give it a shot. And for people who want to get in touch with us, we're pretty easy to find. Just go to bjjmentalmodels.com. That's where we list off all of the podcast episodes, 170 of them so far, all kind of timeless educational information there if you're into jiu-jitsu, which I assume you are. Of course, that's also where you've got a full database of all of the concepts we talk about here on the show and a convenient contact form if you have a question or just want to shoot me a message. And beyond that, if you want to dig deeper into jiu-jitsu with us, you can go to BJJ Mental Models Premium. That's the best way to support the show and to really take the information that we share here and structure it into a course that's custom tailored for you. There's a ton of premium audio stuff there, as well as direct coaching and access to our awesome Discord community. So please do give it a shot. premium.bjjmentalmodels.com. There's a free trial so you can check it out at no cost. And I really would like to thank everyone who does. It keeps the show afloat, and I greatly appreciate everyone investing in us. So Braulio, thank you again so much for coming by. I greatly appreciate it and really looked forward to having this chat. And man, it totally over-delivered. I had a fantastic time catching up with you.
Man, likewise, Steve. Look forward to catch up face-to-face soon in Vancouver. All the best, all the success, even more for you on this year. Well done for all this beautiful work to be sharing and helping people to get a little bit of a direction in their lives through jiu-jitsu on this podcast. Pretty cool. And thanks for the invitation. And yeah, all the best for everyone who's listening.
Thank you too. And of course, to the listeners, like Braulio said, thank you as well. And it's cool that people come and check us out every week. I always love putting the stuff out for you guys and girls. So thank you for the time and attention, and we'll talk to you next time.